For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you. And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. That is the soulful saxophone playing of Mr. Richard Elliott, who is the headliner for what promises to be yet another wonderful Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival here in Kenosha, coming up this Saturday, August 20th. I'm really excited to have sitting around me a studio full of people who are busy as participants and or coordinators for this year's festival, which has really come to be one of the happiest and most anticipated summertime events here in southeastern Wisconsin. First of all, the boss is here, Tim Mahone, and he is chair of the Mahone Fund. Yes, President Brian Albrecht just walked down the hall and gave a good wave to everybody. And actually, the real boss behind the boss is here as well, Artis Mahone, director of community engagement. And also with us, Terry Jacobson. Some of you know her with a very different hat that she wears for Kenosha County Government. But today she's just the cooking studio captain for the festival, which is one of the really most exciting parts of this event, aside from all the great music. Also with us is a local firefighter, a member of Firefighters Local 414, Jeff Widener, who is one of the headline cooks for that phase of the festival. And today, for the first time joining us as well, is Sharonda Glass, who is the captain for another segment that is a brand new addition to the festival, the Stepping for Academic Excellence. We're going to be finding out all about that. So a warm welcome to all five of you. We're glad we could cram you into the WGTD studios. Welcome to the morning show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for getting up early on this Monday morning. So Tim and Artis, I think we should start by giving our listeners, any listeners who might not be aware of what this event is all about, the sort of the heart and soul of it, which of course would be as a memorial, a vibrant memorial for your marvelous parents, Mary Lou and Arthur F. Mahone. So take it away. Tell our listeners about them and how their legacy has inspired this great event.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having us back. You know, we all look forward to coming back and sharing the stories, not only of the festival, but the great work that our parents contributed to the city and to the lives of many people here in Kenosha. You know, one of the reasons the Harbor Park Jazz and Blues Festival was created was to raise funds to perpetuate the Mahon Fund and thus the legacy of my parents, who together with different visions collaboratively were change agents for humanity here in town, right? They worked across racial lines to create pathways for people who may not have the voice to see what's next for them or create the necessary components of life to succeed and move forward, to cross the lane. She provided a comfort zone for people to move out of their comfort zone, to work together across racial lines. And so as brother and sister, artists being my the oldest and me being the youngest, and actually Sharonda, actually we all grew up together. So Sharonda is quite familiar with our family history, most of us all here, but we actually grew up. And so it was important for our family to perpetuate that legacy, right? So what does that mean? Right, so we have the Mahon Fund, which is primarily around the Career Exploration Organization. Right, it's a mentoring program which provides academic and career planning for our young students. Again, providing them a vision for future pathways for their future opportunities. Right, and so we provide ACT prep, college prep, career prep, internship programming, life skills training, things of that sort to help them shape their lives. Right, and so. That cohort becomes a pipeline, if you will, for our scholarship program. Scholarship program provides clear opportunities, academic opportunities for our deserving students, 317 students later. Mm-hmm. And the benefit to us as a family and the community at large is they get to come back and volunteer and be a part of the next generation growth for our community. So we're pleased to have the fundraiser. It's 17th year. But it wouldn't happen without folks like this, right, in the community. And the community comes together every year. We're a 118-member volunteer organization, all volunteers who produce not just this event, but a variety of events, all for the proceeds to success, to provide opportunities for our kids. So,
but this is the biggie. This is the big, big event.
Celebration place. Everybody comes to Kenosha on this Saturday, right on our lakefront. Right?
Yes.
Very I'm good. Talking too much. We got many people here. We got everybody here to talk.
Got a room full of
got
other
a room
people
full of folks.
All right. Well, let's get it. See if we can get shy artist Mahon to join in and follow up in, on her
very
brother's
shy.
Wonderful opening. Yes.
Well, I guess that's a lot to follow up on. I think that's the whole spiel, right? Okay. I just want to interject to the fact that not only are these scholarships for our graduating students, but our participation in the community goes further back when the children are in middle school and elementary school. We're prepping them for them to be able to be a part of going to college, whether it's a four-year or a two-year. We have many of our recipients attending Gateway, and we have had the opportunity to tell our students, you can get a good paying job if you attend Gateway. And, you know, kids need to understand that you don't have to be a teacher to make a living. And the social skills that we are giving to our kids are the social skills that they need to be good human beings. Hmm. We're not talking about just making a job. We're talking about being good human beings and giving back to mankind. I know a lot of the kids that are out here, and they'll say, Miss Artis, how can I? And we get them involved, and the next thing you know, in fact, I have a young man who was involved in a lot of situations when he was in middle school, and I was with him yesterday, and this kid is just doing great things. Hmm. He's a carpenter, and I am so proud of him. Hmm. No, he didn't become a Mahon scholar, but that's because he wouldn't pay attention. He's paying attention now, but the Mahon Scholarships and the Foundation is a wonderful organization. The community really should pay attention to what we're doing because this is not just a Mahon, this is a Kenosha.
Right.
And as you'll find out that we're out all around the United States because we have people coming to this event from everywhere, Texas, New York. So that's what we're all about here.
Fantastic. Building a lot of bridges in really exciting ways. So, Terry Jacobson, explain how you first became involved with this and what sort of pulled you in. I mean, you are busy enough as it is, and yet you happily joyously make time for this in your life? Tell us why.
I don't know how. It's Tim Mahone's fault. I've known Tim my whole life, essentially. Yeah. Both of our mothers were really active in the community, and they would drag us along and make us do things. And so pretty much my entire life, I've known Tim and Artis. And why? Why is because it's an amazing organization. We do a scholarship dinner every spring for the kids called Reaching for the Rainbows. And I tell you, if you can attend that dinner and not cry at least 5 times, you're a stronger human being than I am. Because listening to these kids get up there and talk about how much the scholarship means to them, how much all the mentorship that the Mahones give to them, it's an amazing thing. And then working at the Jazz Festival every year, we have a lot of kids from Boys and Girls Club and from community schools that come and work with us. And those kids are so excited, and they have so much respect for the Mahone Fund. They're kind enough to remind me to change my shirt every year so that I'm not wandering around in the wrong shirt. But they have a healthy respect for the organization and the people, and to see that growth in the kids, and then as they come back year after year, it's amazing. And I have a passion for food. My grandmother always taught me that you show people you love them through food. And so I think that's why Tim hit me up to work with artists on the cooking studio, is because of that. So that combination of just being born and raised in Kenosha and loving this community and wanting to see everyone in it succeed is really what's going on here.
Fantastic. For anybody just joining us, I want to reintroduce the 5 people that are in our studios today. We are talking about the upcoming Harbor Park Jazz and Rhythm and Blues Festival, which is this Saturday, August 20th, down at Celebration Place along the harbor of Kenosha. And you said the 17th, right? 17th
That's
edition
correct.
Of this
give or take
big,
COVID
wonderful
years.
Event. Right. Which, which began in relatively humble fashion, although it had quite a splash even the very first year, and but is here to stay, and such an exciting part of the summer schedule here in southeastern Wisconsin. Tim Mahone and Artis Mahone are both with us. Terry Jacobson, you were just hearing from. Jeff Widener is here representing Firefighters Local 414. He's one of the cooking studio participants. We'll be talking about that in just a second. And we will be getting to Sharonda Glass, who is captain of something new for the festival, the Stepping for Academic Excellence. We'll get to that eventually. But Sharonda, Tim said something about how you actually kind of grew up with the Mahones, at least for part of your life. Just if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about that and maybe some of your own memories of Mary Lou and Arthur H. Mahone.
Oh, F. Mahone. Sure, absolutely. Yes. Many years ago, too many to count, and I definitely won't share on the radio. But
you're gonna keep the math to yourself.
Just okay. keep the All math right. to myself. But my parents most certainly were really good friends with artists, and you know, Kenosha is a small community, and you had a lot of families migrate here from the south, and really became really good friends, and growing up in the neighborhood where everybody knew the Mahones. Tim and I are the same age, and so we grew up together.
You just told on yourself.
I just told on myself. And
I'm not giving age either.
You told on yourself.
Fond memories of the family, and my parents always talking about the Mahones and the relationship that my parents had with artists, and just coming together as one. There aren't any strangers in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. And I think when you grow up in the same neighborhood, Kenosha neighborhoods are neighborhoods. Yes. Everyone takes care of one another. I just remember us taking care of one another. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so those are very fond memories, which also goes back to why the Mahone Fund exists. It's about taking care of everyone. And those are some really good memories. I think about even growing up on the 30th Avenue, right off of 30th Avenue, right, you know, right down the street from Gateway, really.
Mm-hmm, right.
And just hanging out, and even in the Lincoln neighborhood where some of us met and grew up, and you still just grow family. Mm-hmm. And so very, very fond memories.
Wonderful. I'm glad, so glad you're here. And in a little while, we'll be hearing about this new addition to the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival that you are a part of. The festivities actually open with food, so nothing wrong with that. The gates open at 12 noon.
12 noon.
And at 12:45, this exciting thing called the cooking studio gets underway. And that's primarily what Terry and Jeff Widener are here to talk about. So, Terry, first of all, summarize this whole phase of the festival, which is called the Cooking Studio. That was not a part of the first one, I don't think, or the first couple.
It was not.
Not at all.
No. It has grown, over the years. Yeah, it's grown over the years. And while the Mahone Fund tends to focus on education, there's also a health portion of this and community health and taking care of each other. It's all part of taking care of our community. And so it started as trying to bring food and healthier eating into this whole organization. Plus, their parents, much like my grandmother, thought that food was the way that you showed people how you love them. And so that's how it kind of started. We had a bunch of different chefs, really famous. Dan Bonanno, who's from Kenosha, mm-hmm. has a great restaurant up in Madison. He came and taught us how to roast an entire pig one time. we've had chefs from famous Milwaukee restaurants come down. But the last few years, what we've been doing is we've been having a firefighter face-off between different fire departments, because there is that whole thing about cooking in fire stations that I think there's a mythology over.
Yeah.
And it's been a really great partnership to have another group of people that care for our community the way that they do come together and help us do this. And they love working with the kids and coming out and helping out. And so this year we've got our Kenosha Local 414 facing off against Greenfield Local 1963. So we have that little battle, and it's going to be a summer slider showdown. Mm. So each team is going to be creating their own sliders and two side dishes to go with, and the audience is going to get to judge it. So we have this great giant trophy of a gold fire truck with whisks and spatulas involved that the winning team gets to have their plaque added to. And it's really a great, fun afternoon thing. And the audience gets to not only judge and vote on which team is going to win, but they also get to ask questions through the whole thing. We have a demonstration. We have a little cooking studio that we created and put up every year. Bear Holmes helped us out with that. And we also have the Wisconsin Firefighters Association that is sponsoring this event and helping us set everything up. And Gateway is a huge part.
Huge.
Both their culinary and their emergency services program are involved in it, and they help MC it. They have volunteers that work with the firefighters in the background. So it's an amazing event. And something you just have to come and see. And every year, the guys always surprise me a little bit on how it all comes together in the end. Nothing like throwing out 100 samples to the audience in, you know, about a half an hour time. So,
organized chaos.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Jeff. And Jeff here has actually been the Kenosha lead the last 2 years, and he's starting to hand over the reins to the next generation so that we can keep this going.
Very good. So, Jeff, first of all, let's talk for a moment about what Terry just touched on, which is kind of the mystique that surrounds the cooking that goes on in a lot of firehouses. So
yeah.
Tell us how much truth is behind that that mystique.
You know, it's a subculture thing. We work 24 hours at a time, so we live together. We have to work together, and so we eat together. So it's a culture. It becomes a second family for us. We spend one third of our working careers in the fire station. And so just like the Mahone Fund, there's a we support that community as well. And so what we do is we have to cook every day. And in some of the stations, we're feeding 12, 14, and occasionally a few guests that push it into 16. So it's like running a small restaurant at times.
Wow.
But it's certainly a super, super important culture. As people are split up during the day, going on calls, going to trainings, doing community outreach and things of that nature, The sacred time is noon, and we're all back together sitting at a table just like you do at home with your family. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic.
Fantastic. So who exactly does the cooking, or does that responsibility get kind of passed around? And how organized a rotation are we talking about?
Yeah, that doesn't exist. None of that. Yeah, none of that really exists. It comes down to a couple of factors. One, who's willing to do the cooking? Two, who's available to do the cooking? And three, if both of those factors aren't available, it's the lowest senior guy. Usually most of the shifts have a designated person that does a major portion of their cooking. So, there's a few guys that have struggle with Jell-O and boiling water and things like that. Mac and cheese, you know, that's always a good backup. But we have a lot of fantastic cooks that have really kind of taken it to another level. And again, that showing love through food, you know, that's how we show our coworkers how committed we are to one another by putting some time and effort into it.
Even if you get a call in the middle of making...
Yeah, we're throwing a lot of stuff in the trash. Yep, it's happening. Sure, absolutely.
So how much do you think about cooking healthy in the sense that because firefighting is such a physically rigorous kind of thing, you need to be in pretty darn good shape to do what you do. So how much do you think about that as you're planning and preparing meals?
I'll be honest with you. I was hoping this question wouldn't come up because... it's a good question. You know, we obviously we try very hard to provide a balanced meal. Sometimes that's not always possible based on call volume and things of that nature when we're able to actually orchestrate it. But our large meal is usually served at noon and a lighter meal in the evening. Where that tradition came from, I'm not 100% sure, but we have to be sustainable. So there's always, at least some sort of carbohydrate element to a meal because it sticks with you a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And there are times where many of our crews are missing meals or are eating meals 2, 3, and 4 hours later than what they should have.
Wow.
So that it's relatively common practice. Obviously we have to stay in good physical condition in order to do the job. And I would say that in general, most people will probably have the time to eat healthier on their day off than they do at work just because of the timing and things of that nature.
Right. Tell us a little bit about the dynamics of this particular event when, for instance, we'll have Kenosha firefighters on one side and Greenfield on the other. I suspect this is a good-natured battle, if such a thing is possible.
Yeah, you know, it's
family
funny.
Family-friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It can get heated at times, but in all seriousness, you know, we're all part of the same international union. We're all part of the same state organization. Greenfield guys, we happen to have a very close relationship with through our International Motorcycle Club. So a lot of these guys are guys we've known in excess of 10 years. So we're all there for the same mission more than anything, and that is to support the Mahone Fund. Our opportunity through our charitable organizations is one that allows us to be able to defer those costs and to make this happen, provide another element to the program. I don't say that there's going to be any sort of team-to-team competition sabotage, but, you know, we talk a lot of smack and there may be a few things but it's all about the program and putting it on for the audience.
Excellent. I love the idea of sliders and side items. I think that's a really great idea. So is it already set what you are going to be setting out on?
Yeah, so we have to actually submit a recipe that gets published into the cookbook that's available to all of the participants that come to vote on it. In addition to that, we're putting out 100 samples per team. So there's a little bit of orchestration there. We have donations from Bartolotta Restaurant Group that's going to be providing us with some specialized griddles and some food product as well. So we've got to orchestrate a lot of those different things in order to kind of pull it together. And just like everything else in the fire department, there's no I in team. It's all of us. So we're all responsible. We divide those jobs up. And somehow we need to pull off 100 sliders and two sides for 100 people in
two and a half hours
maximum. So we'll do some prep ahead of time in the station the night before and stuff like that to kind of set us up to win. But it's very similar to the type of orchestration we've got to do at work. So it's no stranger to us.
We try to switch off kind of what it is every year.
I didn't like chicken year. That was not
yes, but that was Jeff's least favorite was the year that the protein was chicken and they had to come up with something to do.
Yeah. But the thing about that is the fact that they keep winning.
Yeah.
So it could not have been a poor year.
Right. Yeah. That cheers you up a lot when you have a trophy at the end of it. So are you making a specific kind of slider? I mean, and was that up to you guys?
Yeah, they gave us the guideline of it has to be a slider built by our choice, our recipe, however we do, and I'm not allowed yet. No. I'm looking at Terry. She's saying no. I'm not allowed to give the very specifics because you know the other team still has time. They could try and outdo us.
We don't want Greenfield to
cheat. Right.
Well, I think the other thing that's really fun this year, and in the past we have had nutritionists come and speak. So while the guys are doing this presentation and this demonstration and teaching you how to make these great food items that they get to sample, is we have a nutritionist on staff talking about how maybe you could make this a little more nutritious or ways that you just have to watch portion size. And this year, I'm super excited because, as Tim says, many of our scholars often come back. And this year, we have one of our former scholarship recipients, Andre Adams, who now owns Snap Fitness.
Snap Fitness 24/7.
Here in town. And he is coming back to be our nutritionist. So he's got that special tie, and he's so excited to give back to the organization that helped him out, and he's been a member of the community forever. So we're really excited to have that tie-in and to bring them back. We have many of the same scholarship winners who come back and volunteer every year, and we get to see them and hear from them and what they're doing. And you know, some have finished graduate school by now, and some are working in their fields, much like Andre is, and being a small business owner with his wife. Right?
That's correct. Yep.
So it's so exciting to have them come. The firefighters always have a good natured jabbing when we have the nutritionist on because, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's in our nature. But you know, we're you know, it's just like your brothers and sisters working together, and you're always going to give somebody a hard time about something. So
that's a big part of the fun.
It is. But, you know, we've got a bigger mission ahead of us. You know, each one of our locals has a charitable arm. And those charities, we do fundraising to raise money for those charities. And those charities then, in turn, are able to support bigger missions such as the Mahone Fund. And it's interesting as you go along and you find out how many parallels there are between our charitable organization and the Mahone Fund. We're both missioned to meeting unmet needs in the community. Things that there are not government social programs or things of that nature that ultimately take care of everything. We're looking to pick up that slack, and there's no better way or better use of our fundraising than with partnerships like with Mahone Fund.
Fantastic.
I think what I find it out that Greenfield has such a great care organization.
They do as well.
So there's so many fire departments across the state that have great organizations that do that. And what Jeff did say that Bartolotta's is helping to donate food product, but these care organizations are donating the rest of it. Mm. So there's less money coming out of our pocket at the Mahone Fund and more going towards scholarships. Mm. So they're picking up the cost of the propane for the grills and for their side dishes and for most of the food for their sliders. So it is something that is really a team effort. And Jeff always comes through with his trailer full of surprise things that we will need through the day.
The magic trailer.
It's the magic trailer.
I got one of those. Yep. You need that? We got one of those.
Well, you do need magic to put on a festival like this, don't you?
It is important to thank Jeff, though. He's carried our story through the Firefighters Brotherhood, right? We were across the border with Waukegan 2 years ago, Racine, or last year, Racine the year before, Greenfield this year, and then the State Professional Organization. So to have two strong brands, organizations come together like that, where our students are across the state as well, brings to light the importance of people working together.
Absolutely.
Right? And as you dig deeper into the mission of each other, as Jeff said, you're doing the same kind of work, but you uplift each other through events like this. And so we're very appreciative of Jeff's leadership as he carries us throughout the state and meet new firefighters and other locals. So,
fantastic.
My man, thank you.
We're speaking today about the upcoming Harper Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival this Saturday, August 20th, down at Celebration Place along the Kenosha Harbor. Tim and Artis Mahone are both here, Terry Jacobson, Jeff Widener, and Sharonda Glass. And we got to make sure that we get to this new addition to the festival called Stepping for Academic Excellence. So somebody summarize what this is about, and then we'll hear some details from Sharonda.
Well, you know, the fans who come to this event love to dance, so they're already dancing. And Sharonda and I and Artis have been talking about how to highlight various types of dancing that's out there. And so I'll let Sharonda get into this, the special nature of this type of dancing. But we've realized that every year people ask for a dance floor. Where's the dance floor? I'm tired of dancing on the grass, you know? I got my heels on. Ooh. I don't have my heels on, but the ladies have their heels on. They're dancing. And so finally we came up with this great concept after 3 years of talking about it. But it's going to be fun. It's probably the most evolving, exciting part of the event when you hear about it, right? Because it brings people together in a very romantic, kind of sultry, fun way. Sharonda, why don't you kind of highlight what this is all about?
I just want to say this about it before she takes it off. Once you see this, you will say, can I get lessons?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because it is a high end of dancing that certain people know about. And in order to pull it off, there's a way you have to pull it off. And there's an outfit that you want to wear. And like Tim said, sultry. It's more than sultry.
That's a TL.
More than sultry. Wow.
It's still family friendly.
Okay.
I'm talking about Sharonda. She has been known within the Kenosha community, she and her husband, as the stepping couple of the world. She has been stepping, and when you see her step, just she and her husband, she brings something very, very, very high class to the table. So we're really, really fortunate to have her.
So it's not just a bunch of random wiggling. This is something else. Okay.
Choreographed.
Might be some wiggling, but it ain't random.
So Sharonda, do your best to describe for those of us who are not part of this world what kind of dancing we're talking about.
Yeah, well, after that introduction, I don't know how much more I can add, but to their point, it is a very sexy, sultry type of dance. And the dance originated in Chicago. And it started off as what back in the day they called bopping. And then it evolved into stepping. And now there's a whole stepping community throughout the world. And the dance is really, it's very structured. It just like if you were learning foxtrot, ballroom, salsa, there's a pattern to the dance. But when it comes together, it is very, very elegant. And there's special music that you play, that you have to dance to. But jazz is some of that. And so we are really excited to bring this dance to the festival this year.
So when did this emerge? I mean, is this a relatively new phenomenon, or is this something that's been around as long as the salsa, for instance?
This has been around for years, if we had time to talk about the history of it. But really, as I said, coming out of Chicago, and it was a way for people to kind of have to settle their differences on the dance floor, whether that be some type of argument or I live on the west side, we dance better than the south side. You know, it was fun. And so it just grew, and then it just spread. It spread like wildfire. So we go dancing all over the United States we were going to go to Europe, but COVID hit, and we couldn't go. But for the most part, there this community is large, and so you have stepping groups all over the United States. So we go to Florida, Atlanta, Texas, California, Nevada, just everywhere. We travel quite a bit, especially in the summertime dancing. And it's a treat. Anybody that comes to the festival will enjoy it. And as artists said, I cannot tell you how many times my husband and I have gone somewhere and we're dancing and people say, we want to learn how to do that. And it's really hard to get the men on the dance floor for whatever reason. They think they have two left feet, but I can
you
tell
mean just
you,
regular people, just regular the white people. Lutherans that happen to be in the crowd.
But I can tell you that anyone can learn this dance, and they're amazed at how once they start putting the steps together and they partner up with their partner and how it comes together, you never see a sad person on the dance floor, and that's why I love it. And so this community is always out supporting events like the Mahone Fund. And we have stepped for autism, we have stepped for cancer, domestic violence, sobriety, and so we support, you know, the mission that people are trying to achieve by coming out and entertaining the crowd where people want to be.
So on Saturday, and I think this happens at 5:30, right? So is this a performance that people are going to be watching? Is that the best way to characterize this?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a step-in DJ. And so you will see quite a few steppers on the dance floor demonstrating this dance. And hopefully we'll have time to build in a little demonstration to show people how it works. But once the music starts playing, steppers like to step. So you will see it.
And are we for those that like to wiggle, they can just get up and wiggle.
They can just get up and wiggle.
Some of us, that's all we can do. And are we talking about like dozens of steppers or hundreds or thousands? I mean,
so we hope to have at least 50 couples because you'll be able to see what it really, really looks like. And so I teach on Monday nights, so our class will be there. My dance class will be there. And we're partnering up with Milwaukee Steppers and Ballroomers out of Milwaukee, Lisa Smith and Cynthia Wilson. They have a large class as well. And then there are other stepping groups out of Milwaukee that we hope will join us in also Lake County, Waukegan, Zion area, and Chicago.
And once you're done watching this and you're amazed and you and your spouse or significant other want to get into it, Sharonda has graciously donated lessons for the silent auction. So you can support the Mahone Fund and bid on some lessons for the next year, right?
Yes, we have donated a year's worth of lessons. And so if you wanted to bring your partner, every Monday night we give lessons, and it's just fun. It's something for couples to do, and we encourage anyone to get out there and try it. You really like it.
Fantastic.
You mentioned the white Lutherans, right? There's some, you know, cultural specificity to this kind of dance. But think of it this way, right? Line dancing, so white Lutherans would get that.
Yep.
They would get what? Ballroom dancing. Ballroom dancing. It's for everybody. So
there you go.
The art of stepping is really cross-cultural. Just
it is. That's excellent. Anybody can learn.
So not that this is very sultry, but for instance, something like square dancing, I mean, which is very intricate with kind of patterns that are really quite impressive. Is this sort of like this, but not like that?
It's very much like that because there is a pattern. And so what I tell people, they come and they say, well, I've taken ballroom or I've taken salsa or I've done square dancing or line dancing. I said, let's incorporate that into stepping.
Okay.
And so it's fun. And so people don't necessarily lose what they know. They're just adding on.
Interesting. Okay. So this is PG square dancing, maybe.
PG plus.
Yeah. I'd say square dancing meets tango.
Yeah.
Square dancing meets
ballroom.
Well, I am very, very much intrigued. So I'm going to do my very best to be on hand to experience this new edition. And it's interesting you said it's been several years in the making to
several
make
years
this happen.
Yeah.
So.
You're always looking for ways to improve the experience at the festival, right? Just like the cooking studio, you want fans to be able to do a variety of things and enjoy that great lakefront. And so although they're already dancing, this is kind of a coordinated effort to bring in a specific type of dancing.
Right, just
to elevate that spirit of the music. And this is a DJ, so it's a 90-minute segment as if we had a band there. So it's not like on and off. So they're going to be there for a minute, knocking it out and elevating the excitement there. So you're going to be one of the demonstrators.
Yes.
Right?
Get out of your seat. We want you out of the seat.
This is what not to do.
Right. Okay. Well, you heard the collision, the line dancing or tango, and so you'll be a part of that.
There you go. All right. Well,
we're teaching people everything. We're teaching them to cook. We're teaching them to dance. Right?
There you go.
We're teachers at heart. That's what we're
teaching them to blush.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. That's exciting. And, of course, it's really interesting that it's 8:50. We have 8 minutes left, and we have not yet even talked about
the music.
Yes.
The music is coming, people.
So we'll have to do this briskly. But first of all, I mean, we already heard a little bit from saxophonist Richard Elliott. I'm sure that's what you'll save for last. But just sketch out for us kind of the musical offerings of this year's festival.
Yeah, we have some nice warm-ups. And Lady A, who is just an awesome singer, she reminds most of us of like a Tina Turner. Hmm. Right, she's very stylish. She's very groveling in her voice, kind of deep down from the stomach. Hmm. She's from Lake County, right? And she has a great fan base, right? So she's been touring around this area for quite some time, and we're finally able to get her to kick this off. Hmm. And of course, you heard about the DJ Tony Lane at 5:30. So we cannot wait for that segment to kick off middle of the afternoon at 3:30, because I think this, like I said, it's the most evolving piece of the event, right? The opportunity to bring that pattern dancing, or the pattern wiggling, if you will, we'll figure that out. But it's going to be So he comes from Chicago, and he's really, really excited about it, right? And Sharonda suggested him, and we've talked, and we talk to bands all the time. But to plug in a DJ in this segment seems weird, but when you talk with him and you hear about this dancing segment, it fits right in.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
It absolutely fits right in. Absolutely. So it took us a while to get here, but we're excited to have this segment. And then at 5:30, we have a replacement. We were having the Mike Wheeler Band, come in from Chicago, but we have a replacement in Demetria Taylor. Now, Demetria Taylor just won the Coco Taylor Award down in Mississippi. So she's coming hot off the award show down there. So, and she's also from Chicago. So she's a five-piece band, and she's also going to do some fantastic blues music that we're all excited about, which is a terrific warm-up for Richard Elliott. Right? We have the pleasure of combining different genres of music that works for the fan base. So over the course of the day, people kind of come to hear what they want to hear. They start with cooking. They got the stepping going. So we're excited about that mixture. Now, Richard Elliott, he was just on the radio for us in Milwaukee, and he's really excited, coming from California. He's bringing his five-piece band as well. But he is going to riddle the waves of Lake Michigan. Is that what you can say? Riddle the waves?
We'll go with
that. Just kind of rolled off my tongue there. We'll go with that. Right?
You
and
this sultry stuff, Tim.
That sultry riddle. Yeah. So you started that. But Richard Elliott and his saxophone, it's a quiet, soft, smooth jazz, contemporary jazz moment that's going to be a good ending to our 17th year.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So did your folks love music? I mean, is that one of the reasons why this event took off, or is this just the right vehicle to memorialize them, or is this a reflection of what they loved?
It's two phases. Our parents, first of all, my mother was a fabulous cook. She could cook anything. Second reason is because our parents grew up with some of the jazz greats as their best friends. When the right spot was here in Kenosha, there would be Duke Ellington, Cab Calloway. They were friends of the family, Ella Fitzgerald. So we had all genres of music in our home. Some of us played in orchestra. Our father played the organ. And so music is just what we do.
When you raise 9 kids, you have to have music to calm your nerves.
Or at least occupy a few of them.
Well, and they can't all be linebackers.
They all can't be linebackers, hoopsters, not at all.
Right.
But gospel music was important too, right? Gospel, jazz, all that kind of music that just brings people together. You talk about why we do this as for fundraisers, and if you look at our audience, it brings out the entire community.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Our audience is very diverse. It's families. It's all of that. So it really is emblematic of the legacy of our parents, directly or indirectly, right? But at the end of the day, we're raising funds for kids in a way that brings the entire community together, in a way that brings organizations together and people that we grew up with that come back and want to raise the element in the community.
And that's what your folks were all about in yes, so sir. Many ways. It's great to see the event going strong after all these years. And if people want tickets, can they just buy them at the door or should they be getting them ahead of time?
If you want to save $5, you should go to MahoneFund.org. That's MahoneFund.org. The $30 in advance for general admission, $35 at the door. VIP, I must honestly tell you, by the end of the day, it's probably going to be sold out. So hurry up and get your tickets, MahoneFund.org. And those are $90. And that's a complimentary of food, wine, and beer presented by El Camino, Waterfront Warehouse, Barbecue Productions, Fresh Time, Culver's. So it's a nice mixture of food and beverage for $90.
Local business.
Yeah, we
great
have
local businesses
a
coming together.
A lot of great local businesses are there for food vendors this year. And then we have a great silent auction and raffle. We have some amazing things being auctioned off this year. And we do a wine pull every year. So while you're sitting there, you could, you know, win a bottle of wine and you could just crack it open right there while you're doing it.
You can come to this event. And if you come with the right frame of mind as you're going out for the afternoon or for early evening, you're going to have a great time.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, you give into a great cause.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. So you can, there's no way that you could walk up on that property and not have a great time. And it's family friendly.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Even the naughty stepping.
Yeah.
Doesn't
so
get that naughty.
Yeah.
PG.
All right. PG. Well, my thanks to all five of you for making this such a joyous and fun morning show today. And again, we remind everyone about the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival coming up this Saturday, August 20th, in Celebration Place. Boy, does that name fit this event perfectly. Tim Mahone, Artis Mahone, Terry Jacobson, Jeff Widener, Sharonda Glass. It's been great to have all of you with us today on the morning show. We hope it will be yet another wonderfully successful event. And thanks again for being part of the morning show.
Thank you for having us.
And here's a little
See everybody on Saturday.
And here's a little more of the headliner, Richard Elliott, to take us to 9 o'clock. Saxophonist Richard Elliott. It's a minute before 9 o'clock here on WGTD. Tomorrow on the morning show, Baynard Woods, the author of a really important book called Inheritance, An Autobiography of Whiteness, in which Baynard Woods reflects on what it was like over the years for him to be white, especially growing up in the Deep South. And what his whiteness, what that meant for his identity at different points in his life and as he worked in different places around the country. That is going to be tomorrow on The Morning Show. On Wednesday, the author of Play On, a book which examines how scientific breakthroughs have helped elite athletes like Venus Williams, Tom Brady, and others sustain their athletic brilliance –